This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He's the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which is devoted to business, politics, culture, and more of the Fort Smith region. And I don't know about you, Michael, but Thursday morning, kind of a surprise thunderstorm in northwest Arkansas. What's it like there?
It's doing the same thing. Sprinkles, thunderstorm, or a thunder. So, I kind of like it. Hopefully it... My yard could use a little bit of water.
Well, the wet weather that has hit the entire region during the spring has had a bit of an effect on the commerce traffic on the Arkansas River. Is that right?
Yes, sir. It's slowed it down significantly in May. And part of the problem, Kyle, was lock number two, which is down near where the Arkansas River flows into the White River, and we have to remember the Arkansas River doesn't necessarily flow directly in the Mississippi, but anyway, it flows into White, and then from the White it goes to the Mississippi. They had to close that lock, Kyle, because water from the flooded Mississippi was coming back up the Arkansas River. In fact, for a period, the Arkansas River was running in the opposite direction. That tells you how much water is coming down the Mississippi. But anyway, they had to close that lock for 17 days, so nothing moved on the river. And even between ports on the river, tonnage was down because, you know, it wasn't safe to move the barges. So it shut down a lot of traffic. And you got to keep in mind, we just see that river, but there are thousands of people that who work in Arkansas whose jobs are tied to that river. You know, just here in Van Buren, Five Rivers Distribution, which operates Van Buren and Fort Smith ports, they have about 25 folks. And I was told there are anywhere from 300 to 500 people who work on the barges and in the tugboats that, you know, just kind of sitting idle for 17 days. But now, traffic was down. May was down 44%. And for the year, traffic is down a total of 12%. So, and a lot of that is they're not shipping as much concrete and other building materials up to northwest Arkansas for the housing market. You know, four or five years ago, I mean, just the number of rail cars that were being loaded with product from barges and shipped up to northwest Arkansas, that's been cut, I've been told, anywhere from a half to two-thirds.
You know, it's easy, especially for those of us who are in the northwest Arkansas portion of the KUAF listening area, to forget about or take for granted or just underestimate the economic value of the Arkansas River.
Well, yes, but a lot of the products, a lot of the building materials, some of the products used in asphalt, a lot of that comes straight off the river for northwest Arkansas and for a lot of areas, a lot of regions, you know, that are within an hour, hour and a half of the river. It's definitely a point of commerce. I mean, for those large materials, it's just as important as the interstate.
Tomorrow is a big day in this ongoing mini-series that is the 1% food tax in Fort Smith.
Miniseries, that's a good word. I hadn't thought about that, Kyle, but I think that may be somewhat of a tragedy-type miniseries, maybe. I'm not sure. But, yes, Sebastian County Circuit Court Judge Michael Pitsu will conduct a trial Friday to determine if we'll have an election on the 1% or if the enactment of the tax can go forward, or maybe he'll give the petitioners another 10 days to collect enough signatures. Kyle, there are any number of ways this could go, which is par for the course. I don't know why it would change now. And even if the judge rules tomorrow or rules next week, we could have many more months of appeals process involved. So, you know, this is just like mosquitoes at an Arkansas campground. You know, just you can't get rid of them.
The University of Arkansas Fort Smith, it's well documented. It's been growing for a number of years. Enrollment is up. The campus is bulging at the seams, and there's been conversation about what's next in UAFS expansion.
Yeah, this is a good story. You know, too often some of the business news is or just news in general is not always positive, but this is a good thing. You know, we have more students at UAFS. They've had a 6.1% increase this spring from their full-time enrollment compared to 2010. They're busting at the seams. They don't have, you know, they don't have enough parking places. And I know often campus students and faculty complain about parking, and typically it's just a matter of convenience. But at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith, it's a real problem. They got close to, I think, 700 parking spots are going to come online in August, but they're expanding their library. You know, when their library was built, it was built just to serve around 3,000 to 4,000 students. They have almost double, and expect to have almost double that in the fall. And that's a $14.5 million project. They are adding other new buildings. They are renovating a lot of the older buildings, modernizing them so they can put faculty and more classrooms. In Kyle, right now, it's not pretty, but out on campus, they have some of those, the FEMA trailers, everybody calls them, but those trailers just to temporarily house some faculty. And so they have a lot of good problems at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith. They're all growing pains.
Yeah, it could be far worse, I suppose.
Well, Kyle Parker, he's in charge of their facilities, and he said he didn't look at them as problems. Mm-hmm. He looked at them as opportunities. So he had a pretty good handle on it.
Now, there's a story that you and I talked about. I guess it was in the winter months, and it involved Stevens Media, which publishes many newspapers throughout Arkansas, including the Southwest Times Record in Fort Smith, and I think the Van Buren paper. And you're going to have to help me remember exactly, because it was a somewhat convoluted story about suing bloggers for unauthorized use of material. Help refresh my memory.
Well, I think your memory is pretty good on that. Stevens Media hired a company, in fact, created somewhat of a company. Some of the Stevens Media ownership are also owners of Bright Haven, a company out of Las Vegas. And what Stevens Media did is they assigned their copyrights of their content to Bright Haven, and then Bright Haven set about suing anyone who used any of the content from any Stevens Media, and were shaking people down. And they were shaking people down, just, you know, little mom and pop, so to speak, bloggers who weren't in it for the money. They were just sharing information back and forth. And the way they had assigned the copyrights had always been questionable. Well, on Tuesday, this U.S. District Judge here in Vegas, a guy named Judge Roger Hunt, he issued a ruling that made it perfectly clear that what Stevens Media and Bright Haven was doing was not legal. In fact, one of his – and I'll just read one sentence – Bright Haven was trying to say that they had received the copyright assignments correctly, and the judge noted, "This conclusion is flagrantly false to the point that the claim is disingenuous, if not outright deceitful." Hmm. And, you know, there's no gray area there. And obviously the tech world, the blogger world is taking this as a big victory. And, you know, part of me, we produce all of our content, well, all of it, most of our content here at the CityWire, we produce it, it's original, it's ours. So I can sympathize with Stevens Media, but you would think people that are in the media and communication business would do something like this and not be so ham-fisted, so clumsy about it.
Finally, the U.S. Marshals Museum continues to take shape. There was that anonymous $1 million gift announced earlier this month, and now an indication that a big moment in U.S. history, the Trail of Tears, will be commemorated on the U.S. Marshals Museum campus, perhaps.
That's the hope. The five civilized tribes, which have a place on the Marshals Museum board, they have agreed in principle, it's not confirmed yet, but they've agreed to create what they're calling a world-class monument to memorialize the Trail of Tears, which a lot of the tribes were forced went through Fort Smith. So and then later, as they were in Indian Territory, in what is now Oklahoma, the marshals were in charge of, you know, keeping law and order over there. So it's a perfect tie, not only geographically but historically, to have a world-class monument for the Trail of Tears next to the planned Marshals Museum on the banks of the Arkansas River, of which a lot of the tribes were transported west along the river.
You know, I talked.
Right, it's another exciting development, and they say it'll be the same or better in terms of quality as the Bass Reeves Monument, which is set to go up in spring. And you know, Kyle, that was a $300,000 project, so that may give your listeners some idea of what they're talking about.
You know, I talked to Jim Dunn, I think it was early last week or late the week before, and, you know, he says there's still a lot of work to be done to get to the $50 million mark that they think will happen. But if it comes to fruition, this is going to be quite an impressive facility.
Yes, it will. It'll be the term iconic gets tossed around quite a bit, but the reason it does is there's just not a better term. It'll be an interesting-looking building, and... You know, there is a lot of interest in the U.S. Marshals. You know, television shows about the Marshals movies, and this will be the museum for the U.S. Marshals Service right in Fort Smith. And you have that facility, you have Crystal Bridges up north, the Clinton Library, some of the heritage, Western Heritage and Cowboy Museums over in Oklahoma City. You're going to create just a bundle of great museums for tourists who can hit it in a day or two. So. And state of Arkansas and state of Oklahoma are already working together to figure out how they're going to market that and make the most of it. So let's just hope that the Marshals Museum folks can get their money raised quickly and get moving on this thing.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. It covers culture, politics, business, and more for the Fort Smith region. Michael, enjoy the rain.
I will. Stay dry, Kyle.
All right.